and you strengthen what they already know. And I thank you, Lord God, that faith comes by hearing that Rhema word. Lord, let Rhema come out of me tonight to these your people. Deep calling unto deep. Leaping ahead of those circumstances. And we thank you, Lord God, your word will not return void, but it will accomplish that whereunto it's been sent. And you sent your word and you healed us and you delivered us from all destruction. We thank you for that. We thank you for eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart perceive what you're speaking to us personally and on that corporate level. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen, amen, amen. Well, greet those around you. Tell them they're looking real good. Hallelujah. Are we on air? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? Better yet, to be the house of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I would encourage you to go back and listen to these messages. You know, I was thinking today, what would happen if somebody took all 12 of these messages and listened to them in one day for 12 days in a row? My goodness, you'd be supercharged. I'm not telling you to do that. I was just thinking about that today. 12 hours. You know, I was just thinking about that. 12 hours in a day. Praise the Lord. We'll sleep when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, Tiffy's putting the notes together for those of you that want them. And at the end of Friday night, by Sunday anyways, those notes will be ready. And you can not only listen to those messages, but follow along in the notes. And teach them to your family or your Bible study, your friends, or yourself, right? And we started out with ride, remember that? And then we went to the three faith questions, and then the fear of the Lord, statements of truth, remember that? And then if, right? And then Zoe, then premeditated faith. Then Rhema. Then last night we was on name calling, right? So tonight, let's get into this. And I want to go back to Romans 4 again, just to freshen your mind of what we said last night, because it ties in where we're going tonight. Romans chapter 4. And I don't have time to teach on this like I did last night. I went into it pretty deep on Romans 4:17. Let's read that. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens, that's an old English word, which means makes alive the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. Now last night we were looking at how God came to Abram and said to him, your name shall no longer be Abram, but it shall be Abraham. And if you study that out, that's God putting his name into Abram's name, and it's no longer Abram, it's Abraham, right? And so he said, because a father of many nations have I made you. Remember that? So in God's eyes, just as soon as he said and changed Abraham or Abram's name to Abraham, as far as God was concerned, he had made him a father of many nations, even though he don't have no children. And so Abraham had to start saying, Abraham, my name's Abraham now. And he had to say that for years before the manifestation came. And, people that don't understand faith, they think we're just naming and claiming when in a sarcastic way. But it's true. We are naming and claiming, right? We're naming what God says we are. And we are the healed. We are the prosperous. We are the righteous. We are kings. We are priests. We are overcomers. We're more than conquerors. We're children of God, right? And so God's MO, method of operation, is calling things which be not as though they were. That's how he operates. He declares the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46:10, right? So because we're his children and we have the God kind of faith, we are to do the same thing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, Psalms 107, right? So we are supposed to say what we are redeemed from, even if it doesn't look like it, right? And if we will stand on what Jesus has provided, he became a curse to redeem us from the curse, Galatians 3:13, so that you and I could walk in the blessing. So when we say what God says, homologio, when our confession lines up with Jesus' substitutionary work, we will become that which was spoken. So we call those things which be not as though they were or as though they be. And Abraham became that which was spoken. Remember that last night? Right? So in this aspect of faith, we call things which be not as though they were. So when symptoms hit your body, we call that healing, right, to drive forth that sickness out of our bodies, right? We're not the sick trying to get healed. We are the healed that the enemy's trying to put sickness on. And the more that becomes real to us, the more then we understand how to call those things which be not as though they were, right? But now we're going to do, if you allow it, the flip-flop of this tonight. And that's found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So Romans 4:17, that kind of faith calls in the 3D manifestation desired, right? It calls in the 3D manifestation desired. In other words, when I say 3D, I'm talking about this three-dimensional world, time, space, and matter, right? And you and I are born into the kingdom of God, that fourth dimension, right? And so we don't have to wait to die to go to heaven to experience some of heaven now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth or on earth as it is in heaven. So we can experience days of heaven on earth, right? That's the 4D, the fourth dimension, coming into this three-dimensional world. It's called a miracle. It's called supernatural living, right? And so this kind of faith, what we just went over in Romans 4:17, calls in the three-dimensional manifestation that you desire, right? But now over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, now watch closely. And things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Things which are not. Now, a lot of translation tries to make those things to be people. Are you following? But God knows the difference between people and things. Right? And so it's not talking about people. It's talking about people in earlier places in verse 26, where it says, how you see your calling, brethren, not how many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But then he starts explaining these different aspects of fourth dimensional living. And when we get to verse 28, that last part is so powerful. And things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Now let's just figure out what things that are. Those are things that are in 3D manifestation. All right? What are things which are not? That is what you cannot see. That's the fourth dimension. That's there's angels, right? The Holy Ghost and demons and so on and so forth. And God gives us the keys to the kingdom, that whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, right? And so we have a power, and most believers don't know this. They're all the time pleading with God, begging God to do something when God's saying, I already did it. Now you go and give me something to work with by using what I've given you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, then you'll see my hand move. Are you following this? And so things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. So last night, we looked at how to bring things that weren't into existence. Now this is taking things that are in existence and getting rid of them. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'll go ahead and get started early while you all are just looking at me. Hallelujah. Things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Now this is powerful. This kind of faith cast out of 3D the manifestation desired. You might want to write that down instead of staring at me. This kind of faith cast out of 3D the manifestation desired. Last night's faith brought it into 3D, what manifestation you desired. Are you following this? This gets rid of things you want out. Are you following this? Very important, because the manifestation, see, is what we're after. I'm after results, people. I don't preach because, you know, 3 weeks in a row like this because I'm a young whippersnapper that want to preach the pulpit. I've been around the block a few times. See, I'm doing this because God assigned me to do it, and you guys are drawing on it. Your seed demands this kind of release into your life, and God knows that, right? So last night we saw how to get things into our lives. This is how we get things out of our life. And, you know, I've taught this in times past, not too much, but where it says things which are not, right? Look what it says. It says, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And I like zero times any number is zero, right? I don't care how big the number is. Zero times 1,000 is what? Zero times 1,000,000 is what? So it don't matter how big the situation, when you take what is not, it'll bring to nothing that thing that is. Doesn't matter how big the debt is. Doesn't matter how big the sickness is. Doesn't matter how big the division is. None of that matters, right? God has given us power through faith, right, that we can use things that are not to bring to nothing things that are. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, let's go over here to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he, Jesus, came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, he's talking to a fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And he didn't whisper it. His disciples heard it, right? And then in verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now we know in the Greek that's have God's kind of faith. Now when you and I got born again, we were given the God kind of faith. Everyone was given the same measure of faith. There are no spiritual birth defects. Everyone got the same measure. However, not everyone exercises the same measure. Not everyone applies himself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Not everybody will study and listen to rhema preaching and subject themselves to their spirits just working on overload. Hallelujah. To where their cup runs over. But I got a whole group in here that does. I believe when we're not in session here, you still in session at home. You still in session in your car. You still in session wherever you may be. And if you're not in session, you're thinking about getting in session. Come on now. Or you thinking about the session you were just in. I mean, we just word people. We can't get enough of it. We're addicted to the word, right? So right here, Jesus did 1 Corinthians 1:28, Pastor Eric. He saw something, right? In 3D. And he removed it. Are you following this? He saw something and he got rid of it because it wasn't producing. Are you following this? And Peter saw that and said, Hey, master, the fig tree in which thou cursest. Now you better understand this, because you have the power to bless. That brings things into 3D, and curse, that removes things out of 3D. And you better understand that. Death and life's in the power of the tongue, see? And God said, I set before you blessing and cursing, death and life. Choose life, right? Choose life that both you and your seed may live, right? And so you have the power to bless, bring things into 3D, and curse, remove things out of 3D. Are you following this? So when I first learned this was out at the farm, and some of you heard the story, and so you know that I'm not making it up, because you've heard it 100 times. When somebody makes something up, the story keeps changing. Right? But when I found this out, I said, well, wait a minute. Okay. And on the bottom of my foot, I had seed warts. And they were painful, and they were on the bottom of my foot, and it wasn't one or two. It was a whole pile of them, and they would break open and bleed and painful to walk on and so on and so forth. And when I heard this, I said, okay, all right. I want that out of my life. Jesus, by his stripes, I'm healed, right? Now, I wasn't doing Romans 4:17. I'm doing 1 Corinthians 1:28. Now, I could have done Romans 4:17 and just took my foot and said, That foot's healed in Jesus' name. But I went and I cursed. Are you following this? I cursed those seed warts at the root. And I commanded them to get off my body. Well, I mean, there I am out the farm. Boy, I cursed them and I just expected them to disappear. Woke up the next morning, they were still there. Right? But I'm not moved. I said, no, you've been cursed. And you've been cursed at the root. You're dying, even though it looks like you're alive. You're dying in Jesus' name. And you can't stay on my foot in the name of Jesus. 1 week went by. 1 month went by. And I didn't back off. Every night before I got in bed, I'd pull my foot up and look at it and say, no, you've been cursed. Hallelujah. At the root. It doesn't matter what I see. You've been cursed, right? And in the morning, I'd look at that foot. No, I'm not moved by what I see. You've been cursed. The word of God will not return void, right? And then one night, I went to bed, and they're just there like they always were. Next morning, I pulled my foot up. Zero. Gone. Nothing there. Like a baby's behind. You know, like a baby's behind. Nothing like a baby's behind after they've had a bath. Hallelujah. Right? Overnight. But it didn't start at that night. It started weeks before when I cursed it at its root. Follow this now. Because Jesus cursed this fig tree. Now, he had a whole lot more faith than I did. It happened real quick. Right? Are you following this? But I got it done. Hallelujah. And when I say I, you understand it's what God has given us using his word, right? It's not like I'm Superman here, right? Using the word of God. So you have that power, right? To take things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. So Jesus goes on to say here, talking about the fig tree, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Now see, we're not calling something in. We're getting rid of something. Folks, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Because a lot of believers are praying prayers like this. Lord, I have these bills, and please help me. With these bills, and I thank you for helping me. I ain't going to get much done. Well, why wouldn't God answer that? He already did. He already did answer that. He said he'd supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, and Jesus became poor that we through his poverty could be made rich. He's already done something about it. He's waiting for you to acknowledge that and use your faith. And then when you use your faith, you please him and he can reward that. Don't get it mixed up. I understand pressure. I understand situations that all of a sudden are just like dumped in your lap. But faith, when evil tidings come, our heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord and quit looking at time. Time will just steal your joy. It'll try to lead you into double-mindedness. It'll try to get you to waver because of the time factor. Faith doesn't know nothing about time. Now faith is. Faith is always now, right? And you and I have to live now. The just shall live by faith. Now the just, in the now, today, if you hear his voice. It's not Wednesday in heaven, it's today. It's always today. It's never Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday in heaven. It's always today. Hallelujah. And what connects us from this 3D to the 4D is now. Right now. See, right now, while we're in this gathering, you are connected. If you're really attentive to what's being said, you're connected to heaven right now, and heaven is connected to your spirit and pouring into you revelation knowledge that's going to cause you to triumph. If you're in the now, if you've come in here using your faith to get more faith, come on now, let's go from faith to faith. Now, that's why God can bypass your situation, bypass your soul, and pour right into your spirit supernatural glory. Hallelujah. Well, that's good right there. Hallelujah. The last thing the devil thought you and I were going to do is have 3 weeks of meetings like this. That's the last thing. He don't know how to handle that. I mean, it's hard for enough for him to handle 3 full-blown services a week versus, you know, the traditional Sunday morning, start at 11 out by noon, and yawn the rest of the week. No. We got an assignment. We have destiny to complete. And we have to be faith professionals, right? We have to know how to operate precisely, be experts in our field. See? So Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," whatever the mountain is, whatever's trying to mount up against you, a mountain of debt, a mountain of pain, a mountain of I don't know what to do, how to do it, whatever it may be, just trying to mount up against you, you say to it, "Be thou removed." And watch this. "And be cast out of my life." We're talking about casting out faith tonight. We're talking about casting out faith tonight. Come on, somebody. Last night we were talking about bringing in, name-calling faith, right? Tonight we're talking about getting rid of some stuff. You ready to get rid of some stuff tonight? Hallelujah! Been too many times, too long, dealing with some of this mess. Come on now, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live choked all the time with your finances. You don't have to live driving around that clunker car. You don't have to live all squeezed up. Come on, we're talking about living large. We're talking about living like we're supposed to be living. And we got to speak to that mountain and tell it to get the hell out of here. Hallelujah. Are we reading the Bible? "For verily I say unto you," this Jesus talking, "that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he might have," huh? "He probably will have, he most likely will have, no, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Come on now. That's what's so important about reading Deuteronomy 28. Those first 14 verses tell you about the blessing. 15 on about the cursing. Come on now. And you can know the difference. Calling that blessing in, plenteous and goods, right? And cursing, getting at rid of the curse, right? So right here in this one chapter, we see Jesus operating and getting rid of 3D and how to do it, right? First he does it, and then he explains how. You and I can command things to wither and die, dry up from the root. You and I can command things to be removed. Now, we're not talking about commanding people to die and commanding that outlaw family member to be removed. We're not talking about people. We're talking about devils. We're talking about sickness. We're talking about pain. We're talking about whatever is of the curse that's trying to attach itself or has attached itself to your 3D life. And now you've been delivered and translated into the kingdom of his dear son, where you're to live this 4D life. Now you have keys of the 4D kingdom to change the 3D world in which we live in. Are you following this? Okay. Should I stop? All right. Now, let's go over here to Mark 16. Mark 16, Jesus said in verse 15, let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Number one, in my name, they shall cast out devils. Now, look up here a moment. He talked about removing mountains. He's talking about cursing the root of things. Demonic strongholds, devils that want to hold on to an individual's life. So much so that there are people that have given place to the devil and they've become demon-possessed, right? And you and I have the power to cast out devils, right? I've had the opportunity a few times to do just that, right? But more than that is casting out devils that people aren't demon possessed. They're demonically oppressed. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38, right? For God was with him. Right? Right? So right here, Jesus says the first thing that believers are to do is to cast out devils. Now, we're not just talking about demon-possessed people. We're talking about casting the devil out of your finances, casting the devil out of your marriage, casting the devil out of your children. I ain't saying your children are demon-possessed. I'm talking about something that's trying to influence them apart from how you've raised them in the things of God. Don't get relaxed just because they're 18 now. They're still your child. And they're 20 years old. Don't say, well, they got a mind of their own. Don't let go of them. Right? You buried the hatchet. Hold on to that in the realm of the spirit. Right? Okay. So you and I have the power to cast out devils out of situations. Have you ever just been in a particular situation and then the devil just showed up in it? A business situation, a job situation, a house situation, or whatever it may be. And everything was just lining out just fine, and all of a sudden here comes this. Where did that come from? That the devil. Well, then we got to do something. We got to cast the devil out. Not just say, well, that was a devil. Yeah, I know it was a devil. I know the devil. That old devil. Yeah, that devil. And I'll tell you what, ain't that devil. No, we got to cast the devil out. Come on, we got to cast the devil out. We can't tolerate living with devils. Hello? Is anybody listening to me tonight? A lot of situations that seem like they're taking longer than they should is because the devil is hindering that, right? And as long as you or me or anyone doesn't cast him out, he's just going to hang out. And once you do cast him out, he'll try to get seven of his buddies to come back and take it back again. We're talking about changing and getting rid of things in the 3D. Did God show you that house? Yeah, but they backed in a U-Haul and people are moving. Cast the devil out. Don't misinterpret that. You understand what I'm saying? You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. The devil uses people to curse you just like God uses people to bless you. You got to go to the root of the problem. See? God wants phase two built. He wants it built. The enemy wants to hinder it. Because he knows. He knows. He knows on that dedication night. Oh, yeah, when all the skeptics saying, that we're sitting there leaping, jumping, dancing, running, shouting because we did it debt-free by the power of God. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. And God's not going to let your house fall to the wayside because you took care of his house. He's not going to do it. God is not mocked. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 8. Talk about casting out faith. Casting out faith. Matthew chapter 8. Are you there? Verse 16. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmity and bare our sicknesses. Right? You remember the woman that was bowed over? Remember that? And Jesus come on the scene, said, woman, thou art loosed. Loosed from thy infirmity. Religious people got upset. And Jesus said, ought not this woman, being a child of Abraham, be loosed from this infirmity? From this infirmity? Satan had put a spirit of infirmity. She wasn't demon-possessed, but she had a spirit of infirmity attached to her body that you could not see, but it bowed her over on top of her, right? The devil and his demons hate God's creation. Any way he can disfigure it, any way he can cripple it, any way he can cause it to be lame, they take glee in that. See? Right? But Jesus cast them out by his word. Come on now. He cast them out by his word. You and I have that same power. Right? You and I have the power to speak to a situation in somebody's body or even your own body like I did with my foot, right? Or to your finances. Tell those bills to be paid. Don't back off of it. Curse them at the root. No matter if you did some goofy stuff. you went and borrowed some and got in debt and blah, 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 and you did some goofy stuff. You repented of it, okay, let's get out of it. Come on now. Are you following this, right? So the power to cast out is we take that which is nothing, it appears to be nothing, and we get rid of what is in manifestation out of our way, out of our lives. Folks, this is powerful. See, and when you understand that, then you're well on your way to anything you need in your life, you call it in. Anything you want out of your life, you curse it, you command it to be removed and to be cast in the sea, and it shall obey you. Our words are powerful. So powerful. Remember Jonathan Dunmire in our service in phase one upstairs? And he was just a little kid, pulled off one of the little plastic ends on the old chairs that we had, popped in his mouth, sucking on it or whatever, and swallowed it, and it got caught in his throat, and a little square, about an inch square, and it's in his throat, you could see it. And his dad took him out of the service, tried to get him to spit it up or whatever, and it was caught, right? And I don't know what's going on. I just think he's taking him to the bathroom. You know, I keep on preaching. And he comes back in, lifts his hand up, starts walking toward the pulpit. I said, what do you need? He said, Jonathan swallowed this. And you could see it in his throat. You remember this, Shelley? Did you see it? Joe, do you remember it? You could see it in his throat. Right? And so I said, in the name of Jesus, spit it up. Nothing happened. Then I thought to myself, well, let's, because he wouldn't, you know, you could see he's getting scared because it's hard to breathe and so on and so forth. And so I thought, well, I'll tell him to swallow it and we'll figure the rest out later. And that didn't work. And then the word of the Lord came to me. The word of, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost on me right now. The word of the Lord came to me and said, command it to dissolve. Now see, if I'd been to seminary, they'd have said, no, those kinds of things don't happen. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to dissolve. And it disappeared right then. Bam! Where did it go? Into nothingness. Into nothing. Folks, that's the power. And in the name of Jesus, I curse every growth in this place, any kind of wart, any kind of cyst, any kind of tumor, in the name of Jesus, any kind of blood clot, in the name of Jesus, I command it to dissolve. I command it to disappear in the name of Jesus. Come out of that breast. In the name of Jesus, come out of that area in the, I don't know what you call it, uterus. Come out in Jesus' name. I command those veins to open up in the name of Jesus, that blood flow to move in Jesus' name. I curse every cyst in the name of Jesus. Every wart, fall off the body, disappear in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Ghost. I take authority over every one of them. Tonight, you die. You be removed. You come out in Jesus' name. Woo! Yeah, we'll hear about that. We'll hear about that. Hallelujah. Acts 16. We ain't putting up with this mess no more. We're leaping ahead. Acts 16 and verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which will show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now notice that this spirit sounded real good. Well, these are men of God that show us the way to salvation. Right? But she had a spirit of divination. That word divination is python in the Greek. And the snake. Python wraps itself around its victim and waits for it to breathe in. And when it breathes in, it squeezes. And then it exhales, breathes in, squeezes again. Till finally it chokes the life, the breath, out of its victim. Right? This is a spirit of divination. Tries to wrap itself around your prayer life. Tries to wrap itself around your word life. Tries to get you to compromise and just wraps around just a little bit. Just a little compromise in your prayer time. Just a little compromise in your word time. Watch this. Just a little compromise in your sowing. Just a little compromise in your confession. And it just keeps wrapping itself around and constricting. And constricting and constricting, you have the power to cast it out. Oh, Pastor, would you lay hands on me and cast it out? No, no, no. You have the power to speak to that thing. And get rid of it. Because I've had to deal with this thing before. This spirit of Python. Where it just tries to constrict the life out of you. It just tries to take away your vital connection to being attached to the vine, right? And it tries to just wrap itself around you and just take what you were once excited about. Now you're just going through the motion just to say you're putting your time in. And then jumping into your day, and you're not really getting the full effect of communing with the Holy Ghost. This morning I got up at 2:30, right? Went downstairs and got praying. Next thing I know, the Lord had me in the Word. I hadn't prayed 15 minutes. 3 hours later, 5:30, I said, Lord, I'm going to lay my head down. He said, go ahead. I said, yeah, but I didn't really pray. He said, yeah, but we've been talking, haven't we? You've been with me, Philip. And boy, I'll tell you what he showed me in those 3 hours, not only did it strengthen me, right? It prepared me for tonight, tomorrow night, and the next night, right? Not to mention what Mama Alberta and I are believing for. Are you following this? But the point being is having that relationship with God to be able to shift and go with the Holy Ghost. Now, I've been in many times when I prayed 3 hours and my word time was a half hour. It's whatever flow. But you got to be aware of this spirit of Python. Mama Jean wrote a book on it. The spirit of Python, how it just will try to choke and constrict around you to, remember when you first found out about prayer and found out about developing a relationship with God, and you were just all gung-ho about it. And boy, I tell you what, there you were. You got up early and fell asleep. But you were determined you're going to have a prayer life. Glory be to God. And you're pushing in there, and you're going to do that. And then all of a sudden, one time you even heard God say something, or you thought it was God, and so on and so forth. You were just all, but now, see, you're matured. Be careful. Be careful. Every failure is a prayer failure. Every failure is a prayer failure. You failed to either make your petition known properly or to hear and gain the direction that would guide you through that. Are you following this? Well, I'll do it all by myself. No, just sit there. Just sit there and stare at me. Just glare at me. So he turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus, come out of her. See? And it came out that same hour. Are you following this? And all of a sudden, the people that controlled her, that was making money off of her, got all bent out of shape, right? Because it changed that whole region. It changed that whole area, right? Are you following this? So you and I have the power to remove, to cause things to wither. Now, go with me to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down or casting out imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay, now, we're talking about getting rid of 3D things that are cursing our lives, that are holding our lives back, that are keeping us from living the life that Jesus said we could have. That more abundant life, right? Okay, we've seen so far how we can curse the root of things and they'll wither up and die. How we can command things to be removed and they'll be taken out, right? But at the same, and plus these spirits that can try to control your life, you cast them out. Are you following? When Albert and I found out about all this, you know, out at the farm, we literally went to the door. We went to the door. Now, you got to understand, we partied with devils. I mean, we partied with devils. You know, I was into pornography. I was into stealing and lying and cheating. And she was a Hollywood drug addict drunk, you know, and all the mess that went with that. And we had devils, and we get born again, right? I ain't talking about we were demon-possessed. I'm just talking about they had some lodging. And we actually went to the door of our farmhouse, opened it up. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. Some of you need to do this. Get rid of that mess. And we said, every one of you devils, out in Jesus' name, and then slammed the door. Well, I just think, Yeah, that's your thinker. We commanded those spirits out. No more living with them. Because until we did that, and then I went and built a hedge of protection all the way around those 8 acres. Posted angels all the way around there. Bloodline all the way around there. Never lost a sheep. Never lost any kind of animal like that. Except Adam killed my rooster. He was a heathen. Murdered him. But that's all right. He's forgiven. He's forgiven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's another story. So, as a born-again believer now, you have the power to cast out of your situations, so on and so forth, but you got the power to cast out these goofy thoughts that the enemy tries to bring to you. Proverbs 24 and verse 9 says, the thought of foolishness is sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. Hello? Right? And so the enemy will bring all these foolish thoughts, goofy thoughts. You have the power to cast them out. If you don't, you'll start thinking about it. And you start thinking about it, then that thinking will bring you into question territory. Then you'll start, instead of hearing revelation from the preacher man, it'll be his opinion. It's shifted from revelation to, well, that's just what way he sees it. And see, you're already on a downward slide. Are you following this? So you have the power to cast down imaginations, images, and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity all these goofy thoughts, right? And then cast them out. You don't have to think that way. You don't have to go around thinking crazy. You don't have to go around worrying. You don't have to go around in all this anxiety, fear, all this, how's this going to happen? How's God going to do that? You ain't never going to know how he's going to do it. That's why he's God. You know it not how. Our part is to sow the word, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. It's God's part to bring it forth. It's God. You ain't never. Look, I've given God all kinds of suggestions how to fix it. God, if I was you, we could do it this way. Okay, Philip, that's a good idea. Because you came up with it, we ain't doing it. He ain't never took any of my suggestions. So I quit asking him, suggesting to him, because he just don't do it. Hallelujah. And then the times I took matters in my own hands, ended up with an Ishmael. And Ishmael stay in your life longer than you want them to. Hallelujah. So you and I have the power to cast out imagination. We're talking about mind control. We're talking about peace of mind. We're talking about not walking around just disturbed. No matter what comes your way. Right? It's the power to cast that out. Okay. Let's go a little further with this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I got 15 minutes. Hang with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're talking about casting out faith. And, you know, when you're casting down that imagination, don't just, I cast that down in Jesus' name. Then take the sword of the Spirit, the rhema, right? Just the other day, the devil just tried to bring up an old girlfriend. I know that's never happened to any of you in here. But he brought up an old girlfriend and an old perverted thought. I said, no. That's not my thought, devil. I cast that out. And I just said, Lord, I thank you for my wife. I thank you, Lord God, that she is my portion in this life. And I live joyfully with my covenant wife. Help me be a better husband. Help me be. And see, the devil, that's the last thing devil on here. Should never have brought all that up. Are you following this? And it just backfired on him. So instead of me thinking about my old girlfriend, no, I cast that out. I started thinking about my partner, my wife, my covenant friend, lover, equally yoked woman of God, and how can I be a better husband for her? Boy, you men missed a place to jump. My goodness. You might have to elbow your husband right there. Talking about casting out faith. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's put our eyes on verse 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now this is forgiveness. This is forgiveness. Unforgiveness is a killer. I said unforgiveness is a killer. Now, go with me to John 10. Excuse me, John 20. This is Jesus talking in verse 23. Now, this is powerful. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, this ain't talking about you having the power to get somebody born again. Ain't talking about that. But it is talking about somebody sinning against you. Somebody betrayed you. Somebody lied about you. Somebody stole from you. Somebody, whatever. A co-worker lied on you and you got fired or whatever happened. Are you following this? If you don't forgive like Jesus forgave, we just read the Apostle Paul, he said, when I forgive in the person of Christ. How did he forgive? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No, God, they knew exactly what they were doing when they lied. Yeah, but they didn't know what you know. You have the power. You have the power to remit that. And if you remit it, I'll wipe it out of their account. Folks, that's powerful. We were down at a believers' convention when I first learned this. And there was, we were to meet with some other people there. They had gotten there ahead of us, and they were saving us seats. And so me and Alberta, we came in, and the guy came up to me and pointed Alberta where we were sitting, and Alberta went up to be with the girls, and I was talking to this guy, and just excited about being there. And at that time, they were having intercessory prayer before the service going on. We were way in the back, right? And there was nobody around us. And this lady walks up to me and says, "Young man, we're praying here." Now, Tabasco sauce coming up my legs. And I wanted to tell her, "You want to compare how much I prayed today? I done got 3 hours in prayer today over these meetings." I didn't say nothing. And so my buddies are looking at me like, "What in the world is she tripping on, you know?" And so we walked up and got in our seats and so on and so forth, and we had the morning meetings, and then it was lunchtime. And so we're going to go have lunch. We leave the arena, and we're in Texas, you know, and the Southwest Believers Convention, and it's hot. And we're going to cross the street, and there's a crosswalk there to cross over the street. And here comes this lady, the same lady, and she's defying the traffic. She's not at the crosswalk. The light hasn't changed, and she's just walking, and cars are having to stop. And I'm looking at her, and I'm saying, "Lord, this woman crazy, right? And you need to do something with her." And the Lord said, "I can't do nothing with her unless you release her." I said, "What? I can't do nothing with her unless you release her." I thought to myself, I didn't think that long. I didn't want to do it. How many of you know that, you know, forgiving someone seems like they get the easy part? Right? Right? But have you ever been forgiven by Jesus? Countless times. More than you can count. More than once in a day. There was more leaping there than the whole night. Come on now. And so I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive her in Jesus' name." Pow! Things removed. Now God can minister to her. Folks, listen to me. This is what Jesus said. Because when they sin against you, they're touching the apple of God's eye, and they don't realize they're getting in dangerous territory by coming against you. Are you following this? And if you just let it go, and God will quicken you. There's some things you don't even know nothing about that are just going to unfold just because of situation. But there's other things. Like I might be saying this right now, and God's pointing somebody out to you while I'm saying that, right? That you need to forgive. And forgiveness is not always you have to contact that person. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just clearing yourself, because every time somebody says their name, you have this ugly feeling inside. Hello. Or when you hear that something happened to them, you're like, "Well, praise God they got theirs." That ain't right. That ain't right. I've had to walk in this. I've had to walk in this because, you know, I've been lied about several times, right? And I got to walk in integrity. And to walk in integrity, I got to forgive those that accused me of being offended, those that accused me to be a legalistic slave master, and all these different things, right? I got to forgive. And in forgiving them, it's not going to be held against them. Because God wants to get us all to heaven. He wants to get... It's not worth it. It's not worth it to hold on to that. That's what I was talking about, Alberta, when you were sharing on the way in. That's what I was talking about. See, and the power to cast out. We're talking about sin. We're talking about what they said, what they did to you. You have the power not to get them born again. Are you following? They're going to have to call on Jesus themselves to get saved. Are you following? But you have the power to release them to where it's not held against them. That, folks, ain't preached hardly ever. See? But Jesus said it. And it says, whosoever sins you remit. Elder Rosalie, give me a definition for remit. What? Forgive. All right. Hey, here we go. That's good. Whosoever sins you forgive, well, that's good. They are forgiven unto them, right? And whosoever sins you don't forgive, they are not forgiven. Are we reading that right? Right? So I just want you to know I forgive you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, laugh. That tumor's gone. That cyst is gone. That growth is gone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That blood clot is gone. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Listen, lest a root of bitterness, you can curse it. You can curse that root of bitterness. It springs up, it defiles many. You curse that root of bitterness. You don't allow yourselves to get bitter. I don't care what they said, what they did. Believe you me. And I won't even discuss it. Mama Alberta's asked me before. I said, honey, I ain't talking about it. It's a done deal. She said, you can tell me. I said, you don't want to know. Otherwise, you're going to have to be dealing with it. I took care of it. Protecting you from it. You don't need to hear it. Come on, somebody. Curse every root of bitterness. You have the power to do that. See? Within or without? See? Well, where's your microphone? Yeah, yeah, right, right. Well, listen, folks, you and I have power to call those things which be not as though they were and take those things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Do you see that? Lift your hands, let me bless you. Father, blessings upon these, your people, as they go their way, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. I bless them out of the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow night, session number 11. Be a blessing.